Father, thank you for your word that we just heard. Father, we thank you that you humble us, Father, before your holy throne. We just ask you, Lord, to continue to illuminate us, Lord, with your word. Open our hearts, Lord, as we continue to study your word this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Open to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Especially in these last days, we can see how we're calling evil good and good evil. And I've seen that lately, how it's amazing that it's not even right now, but even in the time of the disciples, that this was happening already. But lately, it seems like the platform of the enemy in the last days is there being laid out. And we can actually see it, since we can actually see how they changed the laws of the gay marriage. Seems like it has really snowballed, and now we're actually seeing what's happening so quickly. Astonishing to see the changes in this country since that happened. I don't know if you watch commercials, but it's all over there. Yeah. So the question, how do we overcome evil? As believers, we have to be careful sometimes. Because in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So how do we overcome evil? You know, we overcome evil by being occupied with Christ rather than self. We just heard about being self-occupied. So if we occupy ourselves with Christ, there's no room for that. So as we see in Luke chapter 16 verse 13, it says, we can't serve two masters. Either we're going to love the one and we're going to hate the other. So we can't love two masters. And Romans chapter 12, 21, it says, do not overcome evil. Why? It was told to us, do not overcome evil, because the believer will never reach spiritual maturity. That's one of the reasons, because we will get so concentrated on self-preoccupation and we're never going to grow in maturity. In fact, that's one of the attacks, one of the key attacks of the enemy, because if you concentrate on evil, and then we will never mature. We will participating in his tactics, and that's what he wants for every believer, to be overcome with evil rather than good. And it's amazing how he works in each country differently, but in especially in believers, that's how he works. Believers, we can possess them, but we're gonna make them concentrate in good, just human good, and self-preoccupation, me. If you do that, we're gone on that side, and then move to another area. It's amazing how he works. So it's in Romans 12:21, do not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That word evil, actually, the word for good is the word agathos, and it's the fulfillment of the plan of God for our lives. So if we are filled with evil, we're never going to do that. So we're never going to grow. So it says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6, there's another mandate. It says, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And the only way a believer can actually make the most of his time is to reside in that, in fellowship with God, to be filled with the Spirit. That's the only way. If we don't, we're going to be self-occupied. It's going to be me, myself, and I. And once we do that, and then we are actually practicing evil. Just believers, sometimes we say, I don't practice evil. But as soon as we say, me, self-occupied is evil. It's amazing how the Lord put that there specifically so we don't practice it. But he gave us also his Holy Spirit. So when he asks, walk by the Spirit, he's already in us so we can do that. There's a mandate. So, now all evil is divided in two categories. There's motivational, and it's also what you call functional. So what's the difference? The motivational evil is arrogance, jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, implacability, self-pity, all those things, motivational evil, because what happens out of that becomes functional evil. You have to motivate it to actually apply it. So functional evil. Now, in functional evil, which is the result, of course, of the motivating evil, if a person, for example, is jealous. You remember the enemy, Satan. The first thing wasn't pride, it was jealousy. Jealousy fed his pride, and then he rebelled against God. Yeah, that's where it starts, in jealousy. And it fed his pride. That's how it starts. So, and the jealousy function could be revenge motivation. That's what the next step. And then goes into hurting people. Yeah, even up to kill people. Remember the Jews, the Pharisees? What was the motivation? To kill Jesus in the name of God. That's how far jealousy can get us. It is a dangerous word. Jealousy can actually make a believer commit murder. It's dangerous. How can a believer do that? Jealousy. When he feeds his pride that he's not a believer. No, he is a believer. He just became jealous. He got self-preoccupied. Self-preoccupation. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, instead of being preoccupied with Christ, with the person of Christ, he's preoccupied in himself. And then itself is evil. So, evil starts with a thought. Degeneracy starts with a thought. That's what I'm saying. In Matthew chapter 6:23, if your eye is bad, that eye is bad. That word bad there, actually in the original, is the word poneros, which is evil. That's what the word means. The eye is used for perception, thinking. Your whole body will be full of darkness. That's what the word says. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. That's the cosmic involvement. So, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? That's asking the question. Is that evil that is in you, how do you think that's going to result? So, meaning that believers get caught up in the cosmic system. They are believers, but they get caught up in the cosmic system. And once they get caught up there, they don't come back sometimes. It's so hard for them to get back in fellowship. Depends how deep they get caught up. So once they get caught up in the cosmic system, as in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. That's a heavy verse right there, because out of the heart. So the principle is, we must distinguish between the good and evil. We must distinguish between the good and evil in all matters of spiritual growth. Because if we don't, we're going to become a casualty. We must distinguish the good. Well, what is evil and what is good? So evil is not simply sin, but it also includes human good under the same principle, by being motivated by arrogance. See, that's the one thing that is dangerous. It could be motivated by arrogance. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13, it says, for everyone who partakes of milk, that's basic Bible doctrine. You know, that's just basic Bible doctrine. What does it say? Is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But in verse 14 it says, but solid food, that's advanced doctrine. You know, word by word, step by step. Advanced doctrine is for the mature who, because of self discipline, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So it tells us right there, how do we discern good and evil? By advanced doctrine. That's the only way. That's why a baby believer is so easy for them to be tossed back and forth by any wind of doctrine. But an advanced, mature believer, he can get deep into the solid Word of God. The good steak, meat and potatoes. Not cereal and baby, milk. So, I know you guys are hungry, so. So, our warning to Christians. Evil rationalizes. Now, once our norms and standards are established, evil is then called good. That's why in our passage, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's when it was already established because of doctrine. Now, the believer who is a sincere do-gooder practice evil. Like yesterday we met this gentleman. I mean, he has the knowledge of the word, but he doesn't want to attend any church because he doesn't have time, but also because all churches are wrong, and he has the Holy Spirit, so he can learn by his own. So he self preoccupied, so disobeying the word of God, what it says, you know, not to forsake the assembly, because he's so concentrated on himself. And when we do that, it's evil. Do you see what I'm saying? So unbelievers, we can do that. So we have to be extremely careful how we practice evil, even as believers, because we can get caught up in ourselves and say, okay, you know, I get so familiar with the word, I'm not going to go to church today, I'm going to stay home, I got the Holy Spirit, I can read my own Bible. And that's what that gentleman was saying. I can do that on my own. I don't need to fellowship with other believers, which it was a commandment from the Word of God to do that. To fellowship, not to forsake the assembly. That's a custom of some. And it's a command. So he doesn't realize that he's forsaking the assembly, and he's rejecting the commandment of God. See, that's that ponderous. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7:19, the good that I wish I do not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. Now that's the Apostle Paul. Mature believer. I think he was one of the most brilliant apostles. But Paul is describing the believer who gets into the cosmic system and stays there. We should remember that any form of evil will get us into the cosmic system, whereas rebound will deliver us from that. Deliver us from the darkness and put us back into fellowship with God. In Philippians, Paul tells us, chapter 3 verse 2, be aware of the dogs, be aware of the evil workers, be aware of the false circumcision. Why? Because believers are often led into the cosmic system, and evil with their Christian friends, that's how it starts, which is called cosmic evangelism. Get caught up, sucked into it. That's what we just mentioned. Be careful who you hang around with. You can get sucked into it, not knowing it, little by little. That's how the enemy works. The enemy doesn't just come and wham, gets you. He sucks you into it very thrifty. How to get into it? Little by little, step by step. Next thing you know, you're deep into it, and you say, how did I get into this? You try to navigate your way out. Yes, 1 John 1:9, you recover. You do it right there. But most people don't even know that verse. Most believers, 1 John 1:9, I don't know. You should memorize that verse so we can recover like this and get away from that cosmic evangelism. It happens everywhere in this country. Everywhere in this country. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 says, "Do not be deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, "And that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men." That's in the body of Christ. "For all believers do not have doctrine, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from evil." In Proverbs 11:18, it says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets the true reward." In verse 19, he says, "He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death." Proverbs 14:22, "Will they not go astray who devise evil?" So, but kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. And then in Proverbs 15:3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." Proverbs 16:6, "By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil." Proverbs 23:3, "The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it." So there's a lot of, you know, scripture about evil, because it happens to us, the believers. Our Lord Jesus, in the true Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17:15, has something to say about evil in his prayer. He says, "I do not ask thee to take them." He's talking about the disciples in this dispensation. "Out of this world, but guarding from evil." Now he's praying about us. Once we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't take us out of here. He keeps us here. But he's praying to the Father, "Father, guard them, protect them while they're here, until the next dispensation." So he's praying for us already. So the Father's already guarding us. That's why he sent us his Holy Spirit. Protect them. So, and then the final mandate, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:22, where he commands us to abstain from every form of evil. "Therefore we must approach the throne of grace," definitely, "with confidence, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. So we have to keep an eye on the evil thing, because it can affect us. Slowly, that's the enemy is attacked, little by little, and then one, he gets us. So, but we have the Holy Spirit. That's the good news. We can defeat the enemy any single time, you know, just by confessing it. 1 John 1:9, "We're back into fellowship, Satan is defeated." Amen.